Blog Talk Radio.
الله رب العالمين نستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به عز وجل وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Praise be to Allah, Guardian and Advisor, Cherisher and Sustainer of the world. We seek assistance from Him. We ask forgiveness from Him. I bear witness that nothing is worthy of worship except Allah alone. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His servant and His messenger. قال سبحانه وتعالى الله highly glorified and most high has said in the Quran يسبح الله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض جميعا. Everything in heavens and earth glorifies Him, all of them, all of them. And the Most High has said in the Quran, سَخَّرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. And He has rendered useful to you, or have made present to you, all that is in the skies and all that is in the earth. All that is in the skies and all that is in the earth, as well as what is in us in between heavens and earth, glorifies its Creator, the Creator, Most High, Allah. And this one Creator, one Lord, one God, whose proper name is Allah, He has said to His human creature, specifically to the perfect, obedient follower or worshiper of Him, that is, this is directed first to Prophet Muhammad, but to all, in its general application, it is directed to all humanity, that He has made subservient, or useful, of service to the human being, everything that is in the sky and in the earth. The angels were ordered to make gestures of obeisance or submission to this perfect model human being that Allah Himself created. Also the jinns are ordered to make obeisance, that is, to obey the model being that this one Allah has created. Nevertheless, it is clearly said also that everything renders worship, obedience, service to Allah the Most High, and everything that He has created glorifies Him with its praise, with its praise. Therefore, man has been created by Allah, and man is part of the praise creation. Man, with all the other creation, has been created to serve, worship, and glorify, render praise to Allah the Most High. But then Allah the Most High has said, He has neither created men nor jinn except that they worship Him. Both the jinn and the human being, the purpose of their creation is worship of the one Lord, Allah, the Creator. Worship, then, is the natural behavior, or the natural function of the creature, worship. And when he violates the laws that Allah has established for his being and for his development, for his growth and fulfillment, then he is neglecting worship. And if he obeys within the context of the universal laws that Allah has ordained or created, then he worships his Lord and he renders the right praise. The heavens and the earth render praise to Allah. Every creature renders praise to Allah. Every creature knows his mode of worship. Allah the Most High says this in the Quran. Every creature knows his mode of worship. And worship, in the broader sense, and in the broader sense, the more conclusive sense then, worship is merely obedience to the Creator himself. This is the right worship. Muslims are blessed to have clear guidance that has not been revised or altered by men. The Quran exists today as it did when it was revealed to Prophet Muhammad about 1400 years ago. Peace and blessings be on him. That is a blessing to us. We read in the Quran what Allah says, we accept what He says, we seek His help, His mercy, His favor, so that we may obey what He says. And we hope to be among the faithful worshippers of Allah who are not motivated selfishly, who are not seeking now self-serving objectives, but are seeking the pleasure of Allah. Such believers love Allah above everything else. Such believers fear Allah over everything else. Such believers love His Messenger more than they love themselves. Such believers love the Messenger more than they love their wives and their husbands and their children. Such believers understand that Prophet Muhammad is the messenger of Allah to all the world. He is a guide, a model, an example to all Muslims, to all believers, and a mercy to all people. Allah the Most High says in the Quran to Prophet Muhammad to say, I am the messenger of Allah to you all. And there are many other quotes supporting this very clear and conclusive report. I am the messenger of Allah to you all.
In what context are we to understand this? Is it to you all Muslims? Is it to you, all of you Arabs? Allah the Most High says in the Quran, Ya Bani Adama, خذوا زينتكم عند كل مسجد وكلوا واشربوا ولا تسرفوا إنه لا يحب المسرفين. O descendants of Adam, wear your beautiful apparel at every masjid, and eat and drink, and do not be wasteful. For surely he does not like the wasters. Here Allah is addressing the descendants of Adam, and he is connecting this with masjid. Is that us? Are us the descendants of Adam? All people are descendants of Adam, according to the Quran. So Allah is addressing all people, and he is associating it with the masjid. So the masjid are for all people, all races, all people. And it is clearly stated in the Quran, so there should be no doubt for the Muslims here in America, that Allah has created the human being of one nature and has spread, made from that nature its mate, and has spread from them plain many men and women. This is the Quran. And again Allah says in the Quran that I have created you from a single male and female. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that he is shown in the heavens Adam, and the angel that led him in the journey introduced him to Adam, and he said, "Greet your father Adam." Adam is the father of all, and Prophet Muhammad is the messenger to all. And Allah the Most High says, O descendants of Adam, wear your beautiful dress at every masjid. Eat and drink, but do not waste. For surely he does not like the wasters. This is instruction to believers. ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين. This is the book that has no defect. It is guidance to the God-fearing. The muttaqeen, those who reverence the Almighty, the Lord of the heavens and the earth, and they fear Him with a devotional fear that is seated in their heart. And Allah Most High has said in the Quran to His Prophet and to believers, from His Prophet, the first mosque, masjid, is that masjid built on taqwa. Not built on money, Not build on an appeal that you will be rich. Not founded or established on a call to nationalism or a call to racism or racial supremacy. Allah clearly says in the Quran, in His prophets to the people, that the first masjid is that masjid built on taqwa. And you students of Arabic, you know that taqwa is muttaqin. Those who have taqwa are the muttaqin. And Allah says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. It is guidance for the muttaqin. And then He also says that the first masjid, the right masjid, is that a masjid established on what motivates, stimulates, inspires, drives the muttaqin, taqwa. And what of the masjid that He says established on something other than that? He says, do not stand in it. Clearly in the Quran, Allah says, do not stand in it. So if someone has a masjid, and they're making the principle of race, or the principle of nationalism, or the principle of richness, or money making, if they're making that the idea of the first principle or the dominant theme in that masjid, then Muslims are not supposed to go to that masjid. You're not supposed to stand in such places. We stand only in the place where Allah is the most important principle. Allah is the most important principle. Obedience to Him is the most important principle. The fear of Him is the most important fear. Not the fear of the material things of this world, and not the fear of those who control the material things of this world. Because we know in reality they control nothing. Allah controls everything. So we're either right or wrong. We're either Muslims or we're not Muslims. We either follow the Quran or we lie. While crossing the Muslim against pretending places of worship that are not fit for Muslims to stand in or be in. If you say you're a Muslim, you're not supposed to be caught in any other place of worship where something is exalted above the fear of Allah. Anytime someone tells you can leave off prayers, you can do that later. Anyone tells you that you can leave off religion, you'll catch up with it later. They are not Muslims. They do not fit in the context of this holy book among the believers or the righteous. You should not be among them. And if you do, you're a hypocrite right along with them. You're a liar, you're a yellow-bellied weakling, and you deserve what they have got coming. Yeah, why should you be among them if you say you're a Muslim? The weak people of this world, they call the weak because they know they can't attract the strong. The strong of this world, they call the strong because they know the weak make them weak. And they want to be strong. So the strong call the strong, and the weak call the weak because they are weak, and they fear the strong. And they want to continue to do up weakness and wickedness. And they fish in the waters of your weaknesses. You get hungry, you want food. They say food is more important than prayer, brother. And once you accept that, then you accept that the worship of the material things is more important than the worship of the Creator. That's where you hit it. Well, brother, getting the money now is the important thing. We'll catch up with the religion later. And later you'll catch up with him. That he robbed you, and now you're in the government.
never got caught up with the religion, but he sure caught up with my money. He caught up with my energy. He sapped my energy. He worked me. He took my money. And I got nothing. But a charge against me in the judgment. Muslims, when you come to the masjid, realize that you're coming to a place that is established for righteous things. Sincere people. Clean-hearted, sincere people. Not necessarily people without stain or without sin, but people who dislike stains on them, and they dislike sin. And they want a place where they can come to where they feel comfortable that this is at least one place that doesn't condone sin. If we didn't think that this was such a place, we could go to some other places. We don't have to come here. We don't come here and see you. We come here because we believe that this is a place established for believers, people who want to get the stain of sin off of them. So if we come here and find you with the stain of sin, and you're running the place, then that makes us feel like we should take the place from you, or even stay away from the place. And Allah says clearly in the Quran, where those people have something other than taqwa, the reverence of Allah, as the principle, as the founding principle for that place, don't stand in it. You're not supposed to go in that place. You're not supposed to stand in that place. Regarding the wearing of a beautiful apparel, if this is the best place for us, then should we come here in our worst clothes? That wouldn't show that we regard this as the best place for us. If we come here in our worst clothes, we should come here in our best clothes. Especially on Jumu'ah day, Friday, on the day of the assembly. We should come here in our best clothes. You might say, are these your best clothes, Brother Imam? Yes, they are. This is the best I looked and looked and looked among the things I have at home. This is the best I could find. This is the most presentable I found today. Now, maybe next week I'll have the green suit clean, and maybe it will be the most presentable one. But today, this was the best I had to come here with this morning, this afternoon. And that's what I wore. And every time I come here, I find the best that I have in my closet. And I put it on, I come here. Wear your beautiful apparel. Eat and drink. But do not waste. How wonderful Allah is. You know we want to feed ourselves. But he says, he tells you, eat and drink. But do not be wasteful. Don't be a glutton, a pig. Don't be selfish. Anytime you're consuming many times over what you need, then you're selfish. Nobody has to tell me. I know you're selfish. And anybody else a good person know you're a selfish person. If you're consuming many times over what you need for yourself, then you're selfish. It looks like it should come to your mind sometimes. I don't need all this that I keep using.
For surely he loved not those who waste, those who go to extreme, exceed the normal limit, go way beyond the normal limit. That leads to corruption. It leads to self-corruption. It leads to slavery of the self. You make yourself a slave to those things that you're feeding on. And again, the Most High says, we go to us, that the wasters are the brothers of the devil. Do believers want to be in the family of the devil? Praise be to Allah Most High. The believers should be steadfast, fearless, confident. You should never be shaking. If we understand the Quran, the clear, plain teachings of the Quran, and if we are truly believers, there should be no fear on us. Except the fear of Allah. Not that we can't be made afraid, but the fear of Allah should be so strong that immediately when we begin to fear something else, the fearing confidence in Allah comes and feed us, and that fear is removed, because Allah is the greatest fear in us. We should know that Allah is living. Was never born, never tires, never sleeps, never slumbers, never is weakened, never dies, never is affected by anything. Because this is a clear teaching of the Quran. If we are believers, we accept that. We don't question that. Why is it given like that in the Quran? To correct the mistakes that are in other scriptures that are falling into the hands of misguided people and wrong people. The scriptures that the Jews have and the Christians have say the Lord sleepeth. And they beg, they pray to the Lord, beg the Lord, wake up, Lord, rise up. And that scripture says that the Lord died. He died for our sins. Now the Lord that sleepeth is the Father. They say this Father sleeping. If our heart is not given to Allah first, then we cannot expect the growth and healthy sentiment. But then Allah promised us another growth. And that growth is the growth in knowledge and understanding. Growth in the sciences. And it came as the blessing of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be on him. The Quran, the revelation that contains the light and guidance for the whole of life and for all time, came to Prophet Muhammad as a mercy to the world, as guidance to the believer, as a mercy to the world. Dear beloved Muslims, we want to fulfill the life. We want the whole life that Allah has created for us. We don't just want the life of spiritual and not the life of material. Allah wants us to have the sciences. Allah wants us to have leadership in the sciences. Without that, we can't be truly a strong community. A strong community needs science. It needs men that are devoted to apply those sciences for the benefit of society. As Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the best of you is the most useful of you to your society. The best of you is the most useful of you to your society. So we have to benefit society. We have to apply the knowledge for the benefit of society. Look how the sciences have been abused. We have applied the sciences for the benefit of the power establishment. We have used the sciences as obedient servants to the rich and mighty, with no thought as to the obligation to serve the best interest of the common masses of people. Yes, those who will truly discharge the responsibility, that responsibility, they will serve the best welfare of the people. They will serve the good welfare of the people. Look how they say we've made a mistake in designing the city. The cities are too cluttered. There's not enough natural light in. Too much noise. Too much pollution, etc., etc. Right? Why you make that mistake? Because the science was serving the capitalist. The science was serving the capitalist. That's how come we made that mistake. If the science had been serving humanity, we wouldn't have made that mistake. We would have considered that this is too bad for human beings. Let's put some grass here. Let's put more grass here. Let's bring more trees here. This is too bad for human beings. But they were only trying to get more wealth, more material wealth, so they made a messy job. They oppressed life instead of serving the life. Yes. So the Muslims come into this religion, and you know what this religion holds for you. Do you think it's not possible that you can become the leader in science? There was a diner in Africa and other sailors of scientific study, research, and development in Africa before the days of our prophet, peace and blessings be on him. There were scientific centers in Greece before the days of our prophet, peace and blessings be on him. Many places had scientific development before the coming of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be on him. But their light had gone out. They had regressed. They had toppled. They had been toppled. They had fallen down. They had lost what they once had acquired. And it didn't come from learned, the scholarly people. The revival didn't come from the scholarly people. The revival came from the Ummiyun. The Ummiyun. The unlearned people. Under the Ummiyi prophet of Muhammad. The unlearned prophet. That's where the revival came. And what made it possible? The revival of the sciences? That book. Al-Qur'an al-Kareem to Prophet Muhammad. That's what made it possible. Now you study history and look at the character of the populations now in the West, in America. Look at the character of the population. I'm talking about Chicago, massive population. Detroit, San Francisco, Los Angeles, New York. All right? All of these centers where the population are concentrated. Look at the character of the population. And you'll find the character of the population resembles the character of the population in the time of ignorant Arabia. The time called Jahiliyyah. The same character is there. What are the manifestations in these cities now? An overly occupation with self-gratification of the lower senses. Not the higher senses, the lower senses. Isn't that right? All right? And a fixation with material interest. Just can't get out of it. It seems to be a fixation. The behavior, the chemical, the biology just seems to be fixed there in the material interest. And we don't want to give much attention to the higher reality. We're just fixed right here in this transitory, lower vision of what the real is. Right? Yeah. Look at another manifestation. The people are under crime. The people are oppressed in these big populations by crime. Crime is the oppressor in all of these big populations. In time of Jahiliyyah, when Prophet Muhammad came in Arabia, the same manifestation was there. The criminals were dominating the society. Not the moral people. The moral people weren't dominating. The criminals were dominating. The same manifestation. And look again. In these populations that we have, in these big populations, great populations in these big cities, not the blacks, not the whites, all the races, but the population centers. What do we find as another manifestation? Gang mentality. Gang mentality. Group of people getting together, forming a gang. We only see published in newspapers the teenage gangs. Those teenage gangs are directed by grown-up men. And some of those men are in the police department. Some of those men are in City Hall. Yes. And if you can see the whole picture, you see that even the adult society is dominated by grown-up gangs. Yes, nothing but grown-up gangs, gangs of grown-up men. Criminal mentality, criminal gang organization. Dominating the life. The same picture that there was in Jahiliyyah. I have faith in this Quran that did it once, that it can do it again. I long ago decided to follow this book and Prophet Muhammad. I long ago decided that. That's my commitment. That's right. I'm not going to change that. I pray Allah. I ask Him in my prayer. The moment I change that, please destroy me. I don't want to be conscious anymore. Yes. So that's my decision. And I don't care what your law says. I don't care what the law of the land says. I don't care what you tell me is illegal. The Constitution of the United States, the Bible, and the Constitution of the United States say this gang dominance, this criminal dominance of society is illegal. But it's existing. So don't tell me what is illegal. I think they have gone so far from their own law to what they promised human beings in this so-called free society, free work, they have gone so far from it that they have no right to tell me what's legal. They have no right to use the word. If they want to say what's legal, let them start on correcting what's illegal already under their own power. Yes. Don't come to me with what's legal. Correct what is illegal already under your own power. But no, most of our leaders in the government, they must be gang leaders too. They must have the same mentality. Because they will go and sit in conferences and decide to send spies into a healthy-minded organization, but won't do nothing about the crime, rising of crime out there in the public. But they will sit down in conferences and decide, yes, we must send some spies in on all of these black organizations. Why you send a spy in to check something that's not happening? Check something that you say has a possibility. It may happen. We see the design. The design tells us that this can happen, so we want to send spies in there and work on it to check it. When the criminal has taken over the city, the criminal has taken over our private lives. Now, you don't come in and sleep on black people because you say there's a possibility that they might do something criminal. First, get the criminal that's already doing something criminal. Then after you've gotten him, then say, well, you all have a possibility, so we're going to now send spies in on you. I say, welcome. Welcome. It's our turn. I'm saying this. Muslims have to give their complete devotion and allegiance to Allah. And then use your faith and your guidance, apply it in your life and in the life of your family, and let it shine in the world, and don't give a damn what the world think about it. You go on and do what you know to be right. But Imam, that's dangerous talk. That's holy talk. That's righteous talk. And this world says, look, if you want to be good, that's okay, we allow it. But take your concerns up in heaven. Don't try to work for your concerns down here. If you want to be good, we give you leave. Go on upstairs. Say, I want my share of the world too. But God said to me in the Quran, وَاتَّقِي فِيمَا أَتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةَ وَلَتَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. God obligates me to get my share of the world too, sir. Say, well, you want that too? Say, okay. You can have that, but leave your morals. You leave taqwa. So you can't have that and taqwa. You can't have that and ihsan. You can't have that and iman. Now, if you want that, we accept that, sir. But leave off truthfulness. Leave off righteousness. Leave off your holiness. This is no place for it here. Obey. Them or Allah? Allah say get both. Work for the promised life is what he has availed you. And don't neglect your share of this material world. That's what Allah says. Now who are we going to obey? Them or Allah? Allah hasn't created me a criminal. And Allah hasn't made you an angel. So they tell me if I respond to my moral nature, go to heaven, be an angel, get out of this realm we're in. Or else take off that nature and give yourself to materialism. Then we can have you down here. No, Allah hasn't given me that kind of nature. Allah has given me a moral nature. He hasn't made me a criminal by nature. He has given me a moral nature. And Allah has given me an appetite for the things that help me grow in the material world. Allah has given me that appetite. And I know by studying the Quran now that that growth in the material world also aids the inner development. That it improves the inner person. The inner person grows better. He becomes better. So actually, the experience in this world helps prepare us for excellence in the next. And that no man can have excellence in the latter world without having experience in this material world. Allah says in the Quran, He had never sent a messenger without prescribing for them wives and children. Why? That's flesh. That's sex. You have to have sex with your wife. And you have to be responsible. You have to be obligated to your wife. That means you're going to have to work. You got a wife, you have to work in the world. You have to have business. You have to have a productive life, income. You're going to have children. That's going to increase the obligation. Plus now you're going to have to be a kind of a political, governmental authority. Because you got an order here. You got a social order here. You got a wife and children. So it's telling us that we have to move into the full dimension of life that is possible for the human being. And in doing it, we experience that kind of experience that makes a better inward person. It enriches the inward person. We receive inward development, inward growth, as a consequence of us being involved in the material world. And you can't get it without it. What are you saying? I'm saying that your spirituality, your inner self, in order for it to grow and develop for the hereafter, you have to have involvement in this world. You have to be in economics. You have to be in government. You have to be in everything. You have to be a society involved in the full activities of human beings, the human society. That's right. It's a requirement for the afterlife. I'm not teaching. I'm repeating. I'm on the phone giving you what I read. But I know to be back in this religion. So let us accept that and grow. I'm not wearing it the football because I know you don't have time like this often. This is a great day. Great day. You know, they used to tell us to say, "Oh, you're lucky, Muhammad." I said, yeah, boss. You think I don't call the boss a white man, or the brown man, or the red man, or the black man, whoever's my boss on a job, you think I don't call him boss? I like to call him boss. I said, "Yeah, boss." I said, what is it? He says, "You're lucky to get in. This is a new company. You're getting in on the ground floor." Now, this is a new day. The clock has run out again. And the intelligence of society has been toppled again. And the Muslim, as he holds on to the light of his religion, he has a chance to come in on the ground floor. He has a chance to get into the position and be responsible for the future. Be responsible for the future life of society. That is, make a contribution, I mean. After all, Allah, He's governing all the time. No matter what we do, Allah will
let us say.
So we have an opportunity. So let us get in on the ground floor and take that opportunity. Move ahead. Go ahead. Press forward. We are blessed now for the first time to have access to knowledge for established people. Listen. For the first time in our history in this part of this world, we are blessed to have access to that precious knowledge, peculiar knowledge, rare knowledge, for established people. We established with this knowledge. The Chinese, the Japanese, we established with their knowledge. We have even a better one, even a greater one. More right, more pure. Better. Clear. More consistent. It's whole. It's perfect. We have the opportunity for the first time to establish ourselves in the light of what God has revealed. We couldn't do it before. There's no knowledge in Christianity to establish us. Not in the preachers, not in our leaders. If there were, we would be established. We would find establishment. The African American under Christianity has just about been blown off course by the winds of these turbulent days. Is that not a fact? Yeah. We look at the church leadership and at the masses there in the church. It doesn't represent the kind of devotional moral sense that used to be in most of them. No. They've been swept off course. Like drifting. Just drifting out at sea. Some of them have become so political we can't recognize the gospel anymore in what they say. Others have become so materialistic, it sounds like a gimmick, a money-making gimmick. It preaches the money-making thing. Yes. We are trying to hold on, but for the African-American masses and for all the other masses in America now, they don't have no stability, no sure thing in that at all. No. They offer nothing. And they never did have that kind of knowledge that established people and gives people really anchor, root, structure, firmness. They didn't have it. They never seized it through that institution. Or through that guidance, we have never been able to seize that. In fact, the only movement that have come close to giving us some kind of balanced life and a well-structured life have been social movements, political movements, not church movements. The church has had to come out of the church and get into political movements or social movements or something else to achieve something of value for us. Yeah. And there has been haphazard, hits and misses in the dark. So I say again, for the first time, we, African-American masses and the masses in America, all of them, if they want to accept it, for the first time, we have access to knowledge that establishes people. Communist ideology, and immediately you come under a communist hierarchy. And you're in the same inferior position as you're in under capitalism. Well, it's just a different ism. You know it's a fact. Yeah. But if you accept an Islam, any brother in the room, any brother in the room, no hierarchy besides, any brother in the room, that feels that he has better knowledge than I have, and better morals than I have, better qualified to lead this community, anybody in their ranks can come up here and take over. Goodness! And when I'm not here, say, hey, they never not here, it's time to start the Jummah, it's time to start the prayer. The brother's qualified from the ranks, come right up and he does it. And you have to follow him the same way you followed me. Right? Yeah. Not that we don't choose our leaders. Certainly we choose our leaders. We choose them, but there is no restriction on the individual that deny him putting his hat in the ring or putting his beauty in. No, we don't have to wait for somebody to choose another leader. If someone is sitting there and he knows that he has better qualifications for this position, he doesn't have to wait for an election. He says, look, I would like to help the imam. I believe I have more ability. I have a better job. I can do a better job. I would like to help the imam. If he helps the imam, he becomes the imam if he has the greater ability. Right? He shouldn't say, I want to copy the imam. That would be the wrong attitude. He should say, I want to help the imam. And if he comes and helps the imam and he has the great ability, soon I will see. And if I'm a good Muslim, I'll say, this man should be the imam. Right? Yes, if I'm a good Muslim, I'll say, this man should be the imam. He should be the main leader here, not me. He's more qualified. He's a better one to lead us. And if I don't say it and you can feel it, you can say, hey, you haven't seen yet the light, brother imam. This man is better to lead us than you. Yes. This is a true Islamic community. That's the way they would do. They would behave at that way. And all of us have the Quran. But in the communist society, the theory is that the little people, that the dumb, the people under them, can't get. And in the church, they have books that the little ones can't get. Only the top people in the church can get those books. But in this religion, the highest knowledge is available to all. The highest. They have nothing higher than that. Believe me, they have nothing better than this, the Quran. Nowhere. Nowhere. Allah.
like the ones before you. And you let the power of this gift destroy you. The world.